SAFM's Beck and Soda.
What's it like to be a free diver?
What's it like to be a competitive eater?
What's it like to be an Oscar seat filler?
What's it like to have 16 kids?
What's it like to be held hostage?
What's it like to be lost at sea?
What's it like to escape prison?
What's it like?
Today we're asking, what is it like to be a hacker? Because as a teenager, Bastian Triptal hacked into a major Australian bank and caused absolute mayhem.
But now he's using those powers for good to help protect all of us against hackers.
Good morning, Bastian. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, mate, this is fascinating. Your story is remarkable. So as a child, how old were you when you started to muck around with computers and start to get your way around them?
Look, someone silly got me a computer as a hyper-curious kid at about the age of 13 and self-taught myself. So around the age of 14, I managed to break into one of the big four banks. And yeah, not ideal. Actually, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just super curious. Like as a kid, you know how kids have temper tantrums because they can't have lollies and things?
Sure.
For me, if I didn't understand how something worked, like a battery, for example, I had a full-on meltdown in front of my family. And luckily, my family, being educators, were like, all right, we're going to get you a scientist on the phone, and he's going to come explain to you how batteries work. And that's the only way they could get me to come out of this temper tantrum.
Jeez. Wow. Okay, yeah. So when you hacked into this bank, what did you get?
Basically, I got 40,000 credit card numbers. These magical numbers that equated to pizza for me at the time.
How hard was it to do? You're self-taught within a year and you've broken into one of the big ones?
Yeah, look, back then there were a lot of forums. Like, you know, you might have heard of Reddit these days. So you would basically go and meet these like-minded people and they'd tell you about these security holes. And I used a particular NetBIOS hack to get in to a laptop, and then that laptop was taken into the bank. It wasn't particularly hard. That wasn't the only hacks that we did. That was the only one I ever really got in trouble for. But yeah, for me, they were numbers, and it was interesting to find out what was behind numbers.
And so how did you get in trouble? You mentioned pizza.
Yeah, I was stupid. Look, I kind of got pretty blasé about it. So after 3 years, I just thought that there was this incredible numbers that were just, you know, I was fairly popular at school or parties. I could get pizzas ordered anywhere. And I literally ordered the pizzas to my house.
Right. So essentially, you've got all these credit card numbers. You're just using them to do a bit of shopping, essentially.
Yeah, I never usually use them for anything other than buying pizza.
Right.
But yeah.
So how did it go being delivered to your house? Did they work out it was you?
Yeah, so obviously someone's eventually reported the credit card number, and then it's done to a pizza shop, and the pizza shop said, we delivered this pizza to here. And yeah, it wasn't a great day when the federal police came knocking.
What did your mum and dad say when the AFP were at the door?
Look, I was not the best of youth. I'd already kind of had a few run-ins with the police. In fact, one particular night, I had another run-in with the police, and we'd been blowing up teachers' letterboxes. You know how you can get the soda bombs, and then you tie a sparkler to it with tape, and you light it off, and it explodes. Probably not a great story to tell the kids out there, but
no.
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember, but back in the day, they had the bars and they had the perspex in the little local jails there while they were holding you, waiting for your parents to come pick you up.
Yeah.
So I think this was probably the most disappointed mum had ever been. I'd had a few drinks, was blowing up teachers' letterboxes, and I managed to thread my shoelace through the perspex window, and they didn't put a lock on it. And I managed to slowly work this lock open, and I ran through the police station, and I hit the poor police officer on the back of the head and said something horrible. Oh, something to the effect of, you can't catch me, or something like that.
You little
unbeknownst
thug.
To me, yeah, I was a terrible kid. Unbeknownst to me, you can't run very straight when you've been drinking, and the police caught me within about 50 metres, so, and they put the lock on the door the next time.
So, Bastian, you're quite the rebel. When the federal police pick you up for this hacking situation, I mean, do you think you're going to go to jail? Do you think that you're in absolute all sorts of trouble?
I was terrified, yeah, genuinely terrified. They gave me the choice. I thought, you know, you've got all these American songs coming out saying that if you're under 18, you're fine. Not the case, by the way, kids, if you're thinking about doing anything like I did. And in fact, if you did something like I did back then, you would 100% wind up in jail. So stay on the good side of things, kids. But yeah, I was terrified. They gave me the option of either going to juvenile detention or doing community service and consulting with those guys. So obviously I chose the latter.
So you became a consultant on hacking?
Yeah. They never really called on me too much, but it was good. It was an eye-opener. And I think for me that was a turning point, because I also saw a small chemist business. They had insurance. They got hacked. All the money got drained out of their bank accounts. And by the time the insurance kicked in, they weren't able to pay wages. The business went into bankruptcy. And that was the first time that really opened my eyes up that, you know, these things that I was doing on the computer could actually harm people. So obviously years later, it turned into starting a business to try and protect businesses and people in Australia.
So that's what you're doing now. You're trying to educate people so they don't get caught into the traps that you were laying.
Yeah, well, I recently just sold my company in November last year for more money than I know what to do with. So yeah, it's been a journey. So your question about what my parents thought, they probably didn't think too much of it at the time, and they were definitely disappointed. But yeah. I think I've regained their trust and their support over the years.
With some pretty generous Christmas presents to them now.
Yeah, why not?
Bastian, for everyday people out there, you know, with their credit cards and everything else they're doing, their computers, what do we need to do? Because I can imagine it's very, very easy for people to breach data.
Yeah, well, I think the first step is people need to understand how valuable they are. In Australia, we've got that really bad concept that, you know what, why would a hacker want me? Why am I valuable? But every single person who has a job is extremely valuable. Everyone who has a license or a passport or a bank account. And it's not just because we might use your bank account for stealing money, for example. Like, even if I steal a bank account with $1 million in it, I can only steal that bank account for $10,000 because it's really hard to get that full million out of a bank. But what I can use it for is crime, identity theft, to commit crime on your behalf. I can use your phone. I can use your access into your environment. And literally, this is an amazing one that I usually tell. Does anyone want $1 million right now? I assume everyone probably wants $1 million.
Yeah. Sure.
All you need to do, guys, is hand over your username and password and the two-factor authentication to get into your work. So come on, guys, get it out.
Oh.
And I can get you $1 million from state-based hackers overseas today.
They'll pay that money to them.
They will pay that money.
Wow. God, a lot of people would accept that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would urge you to probably buy your tickets to the Bahamas before you receive the money, because the federal police are going to come knocking really quickly.
Jeez.
And it's not a good idea. And often the hackers will put the money in there and then take it straight back out. So I wouldn't recommend it unless you like the look of a jail cell.
Wow. Jeez. And what about if you're in a foreign airport and you log into that Wi-Fi or you plug in to charge your phone in an airport? Like, how dangerous is that kind of behavior?
Yeah, I just wouldn't do it. So if you have to do it, probably use something like a VPN. But here's the key thing, right? Every
What's
time you
VPN?
Go to McDonald's,
it's
a virtual private network. So you can use things like ExpressVPN, is a commercial product that you can go and buy. But honestly, just use your 5G or 4G. If you're overseas, go and get a SIM card. I'll tell you why, right? Every time you connect to, say, Macca's or a hotel reception or the airport, you can set up what's called a wireless pineapple. And these things are cheap, right? They're $56 US for a small one. And your phone will ping out every 7 seconds and say, hey, are any of these networks out there? And this device will say, yep, I'm out there. And your phone will connect to it. When we went to Melbourne Airport, this is in Australia, we found 8 rogue wireless access points.
Ooh.
So they're absolutely being used. So jump onto your phone, delete all those open networks. So you go into your wireless settings and delete all the networks that are open, the ones you're not using anymore. Just delete them. They put you at enormous risk.
Okay. Right. So
we're just scrubbing our phones right now.
So everyone who's listening, grab your phone, click onto your Wi-Fi.
So if you go into settings, Wi-Fi, and it says networks.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you can see under that list where it says networks, there's all the networks you've ever connected to before.
All I've got in my headings, it's got Wi-Fi, then it's got my networks, then it says other networks that have popped
that
up.
That means you have never connected to another Wi-Fi network on that phone.
Okay.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So for people who have, like, for example, this phone that I'm looking at the moment, I can see all these other networks, like, for example, Telstra, Optus, blah, 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 these Wi-Fi networks that I've connected to before.
Yeah.
You just click on information. Mm-hmm. And right. You just click on forget this network.
I don't seem to have any. Have you got them?
Oh, whoa. Oh, my wow. God. Look at that.
Can you show me where you did it? Go down. Edit.
No okay. networks. I'm scrolling down, Bastian. I've got hundreds.
Oh, wow.
Hundreds.
Yeah, you hit edit and it comes up with no networks.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? There. Half of them are in Bali. Half of them are places that I've been to in Bali. Heaps of Telstra ones.
Boatshed, D-Link.
Solar Quote, Sassy Net Hair and Beauty, my old hairdressers.
Oh, wow.
So does that mean you've logged onto their Wi-Fi while you've been there?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and specifically the ones with no password are the ones that put you at huge risk. But go through and delete all those. And that's not even the number one risk right now. So when I had to go and do talks around Australia, I split the room up into two.
Mm-hmm.
You're either on the hackers list or off the hackers list.
Right. And how do you determine which is which?
Well, first of all, I asked everyone if they've got a job.
Yep.
Because anyone who has a job, they're a juicy target for me. It's usually easier for me to extort money out of a business in Australia than it is an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I asked them is, have they ever gone onto the dark web to find out if they've got username and passwords for sale? So there's 24 billion usernames and passwords available for sale on the dark web. That's more people than there are on the planet. Mm-hmm. And often people have never checked this.
Mm.
And if you have that information on there and it's a password you still use, it's just a matter of time before a hacker buys that and uses that information against you. So Medibank is a great example of that. So one of the staff at Medibank had their username and password combination available for sale. A hacker's bought it and they've just tried it to log into their Medibank remote account. It's got in, boom, they're over. Another example here in Australia, we recently did a show on a current affair. A young couple saving up for the best part of a decade for their first home. They were part of the Optus breach. They also had a username and password for sale online.
Mm.
The hacker managed to get access to their phone account, like, you know, when you log on to Telstra or Optus. Mm. And you can forward the SMSs there. So basically the hacker forwarded all the SMSs and phone calls to an evil device, a phone, reset the banking passwords with your CBA app, got a loan out for $150,000, and also emptied their bank accounts. Now, you'd think that you'd get your money back for that, right?
Yeah.
Nope. In Australia, we're one of the few developed countries in the world where the government doesn't actually immediately give you the money back. For example, in the UK, you get your money back. Jeez. But this couple, not only did they lose their money, they have to pay back that loan.
The $150,000 loan that he took out.
They have to pay it back, yeah. So it, basically in Australia, the way it works, if the bank has done nothing wrong and you haven't taken charge of your digital identity, by that I mean making sure that your digital identity is safe, then the bank will not refund that money.
Jesus.
So in Australia so far, not businesses, not big corporates, people like you and I have lost $588 million this year and only 4% of it has been recovered.
Jesus, that's horrendous.
So should we be changing our passwords and using different passwords for each?
Well, this is where it gets scary, right? Yeah, absolutely we should be changing our passwords and using different passwords for each. And the way you do that easily is you use a password manager.
Mm.
But what people don't realize is, and I got a call from a friend of mine about 2 weeks ago, and I've been talking to him about this stuff for years, and obviously at this point it hadn't sunk in, but I'll get over it. But he's an intelligent person, orthopedic surgeon. He was like, oh, as long as I've got two-factor authentication and a complex password on my bank, I'm safe, right? I'm like, mate, no. Mm. Hackers get in a roundabout way. For example, this couple, they got into their phone account, their Optus account specifically.
Right.
If you click on a link and your phone gets infected with malware, then your phone has everything I need on it.
Yeah.
So you've got to be kind of holistic about cyber. So my job as a hacker, and when I say hacker now, I get paid to hack into organizations, and I've got 100% track record of every organization I've ever been paid to get into, I get into.
Yeah.
But you just got to make it harder for me. Hackers are lazy, right? So if you're a little bit too hard, they'll move on to the next target because they can make a lot of money. So secure your applications, secure your passwords, jump onto this website, Have I Been Pwned, pwned.com.
Yep.
Don't type that wrong. You'll end up at a vastly different website. And see if you've been part of any breaches. Jump online now and have a look.
Yeah, actually, our boss just did that for us.
Yeah. Nice, nice.
I had been.
You're part of breaches? If you're part of a breach, then subscribe to the paid service and find out whether any of your passwords are exposed.
Mm. Yep.
And if they have been exposed, you need to move quickly.
Right.
Wow.
Don't sound too terrified, guys. Come on, we need to bring up the energy again.
Jesus,
well, mate. Okay.
For everyone who's listening to this and their concerns, we're about to release 10 steps that you can take in a single day to secure your digital identity. So follow me on Instagram, and we're about to release that in the next couple of weeks. And it's going to be super simple steps that everyday Australians can take. So we remove that target off Australians' back. So it's bastian.treptel on Instagram, and we should have that shooting out to all of Australia within the next 2 weeks.
Brilliant, mate. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time, mate, even though you've scared our pants off.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
SAFM's Beck and Soda. 6 to 9 weekdays.
SAFM.